afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring to you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, April 15th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
I was waiting for that.
It's good to be able to live for something.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I mean, what else is there except for hump day? But we have Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. Right after we finish the market report in the second and third segment of the day, there's lots of things to talk about financially with what's happening, some of the reports that are coming out, the numbers, the stats, banks that are bracing for big losses. But, of course, you all know that. I mean, we talk about it all the time. So now it's just, the media is now beginning and the banks are beginning to say, well, you know what, it might be a little tougher than what we thought. They're just looking for more money from government. Gold today was down $4.50, a little pressure, $1,723. Silver was down 24 pennies at $15.56. Platinum was down 8 at 779. Palladium was down 47 at 2,270. The USDX today was 0.67 to the upside at 99.52. Crude oil was up 34 cents at 20.45. And the paper markets today, let's see what we've got. Paper markets, here we go. We're looking at the Dow was down 464 points, 23,485. The NASDAQ was down 122, 8,393. And the S&P was down 62, 2,783. 10-year yield today was 0.64, down 0.11. And all the other, London and Germany were down. Germany was down almost 4% overnight. London was down almost 3.5%. Asian and Japan were just down slightly. So that's going on. That's a quick wrap of the markets. We'll talk about these when we get back from our first break. But first, we have Wendy Wilson joining the program. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melanie. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Wendy.
Well, I thought we'd talk about the expectations of the COVID-19 vaccine, because I'm getting a lot of calls about that. And I looked up some information, and the American Society for Microbiology reported April 7, 2020, that the COVID-19 vaccine is a serum with an engineered virus in it. So it seems to be no surprise, because the COVID virus itself is a patented invention, according to UK Patent Office. And actually, globally, there are more patents on coronavirus per country than any other type of disease. So we're told the vaccine is about 12 to 18 months away from being used on the masses, and most countries are kind of in a race to get a patent on an effective COVID-19 vaccine to get it to market and use it also in trade. And we're also told the SARS virus and the MERS pathogens are closely related to the COVID-19 and are also patented diseases. The SARS COVID U.S. patent number is 7200852B1. And since these viruses are closely related to each other, they can actually take one of those pathogens, genetically alter it, to make new vaccines from it. So drug biotech companies are particularly quick to file these patents on any new disease for the big profits. This is a quote from Just Patents, and they say the coronavirus strain is patented by the Pybright Institute in the UK. It was patented July 23, 2015, patent number is 10130701, and the published patent number is 20170216427, and it's partially, this institute is partially funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So disease ownership is the big money maker now. What do you think of that?
Well, it's just par for the course. I mean, we knew, you know, they've been there, done that, and here they are.
Yeah. Here they are doing it again. Well, there's a lot of big profit in disease, because the American Society of Microbiology reports that a team of researchers are working on a new COVID-19 vaccine, there is more than one vaccine being created and tested. So in this case, the researchers believe that the way to make the vaccine successful is to deal with the virus infection to use the MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome vaccine, and alter it to make a new COVID-19 vaccine. And they also hope it'll work on the SARS pathogen, the severe acute respiratory syndrome. So these vaccines in development are typically RNA virus serums, and they're using the parainfluenza virus PIV5. And that's important because this particular virus that they're using to build this new vaccine upon, it's the virus that causes kennel cough in dogs. Okay.
What?
Yeah. It's a parainfluenza virus called PIV5, and it creates kennel cough in dogs. And we're told the virus is harmless or not very, very seriously dangerous towards humans. And what they do is they add some extra genes to this virus to have the cells produce a protein called glycoprotein. And that's part of the MERS infection. They start there. And so pathologists are considering that this is the best way to build this coronavirus for the serum. They're building on it. They're building on other pathogens to create the COVID-19 serum. So that's how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And you want to know how they're testing it?
Gee, let me count the ways. I'm sure they're not good.
Well, according to the American Society of Microbiology and their research, the typical lab rat or mouse is not an effective specimen to test these vaccines on. So your MERS and COVID-19 viruses have no effect on them. So what the scientists did is they took a mouse and they genetically gave him a human vascular system, a human immune system, and a human glandular system. So this is a human in a mouse suit, okay? They needed a mouse model, though, that mimics a human infection. They needed a virus to be able to replicate in a mouse and test the serum on it, but they needed it to respond like it would in a human body. I don't know how simply altering a mouse this way creates
a genuine human. That can't be that easy. And even if they did, the outcome, how would you know the outcome would be what it would be on a human? I mean,
It's a little out there. So scientists know how the virus enters the human cell. They say it enters through a protein that they've labeled DPP4. So I'm reading this research, Melanie, Dave, I'm reading this research and I'm saying, are you serious? I said, for 10 years, science has known what blocks the coronavirus from invading human cells and replicating. They already know what kills the virus, but you can't patent an earth mineral like zinc, because that's what blocks it, zinc. That's why they're adding the zinc sulfate to the hydrochloroquine. Yeah. So they already know what kills the virus and doesn't make you sick. It's zinc. Zinc research was done, get this, November 2010. But it didn't get published until November 2019. And I reported on this in the newsletter the first part of April. It was a article titled Viral Foes Defeated by Zinc. And what I said was the Journal of United States National Library of Medicine, Institute of Health, had a report that states zinc inhibits coronavirus and its RNA polymerase activity. They go on to state that the zinc blocks the virus from replicating and corrupting our human cell and protects us from getting sick. It's zinc. It's simply zinc. So the and that's what they found too. That's what they found on these even young victims of the virus that became sick, is they were low in zinc. All of them were low in zinc. And we're low in zinc because our topsoil is crap and our produce isn't absorbing enough nutrients from the soil because of all the chemicals they've put on it. Now, the American Society of Microbiology researchers, they went on to say in this research with their engineered mouse, the engineered mouse accepted the vaccine just very well, and but they found some problems. Essentially, what they found is they tested different serums, and the inactivated MERS virus they created caused inflammation and infection, which caused a safety concern. Well, yeah. So when they modified the parainfluenza virus to remove this S protein, the serum worked, they said, much better. Oh, I feel so much better about that.
Really?
But yeah. Now they're hoping to make the vaccine effective not only against COVID-19 but also MERS and SARS. And at this time, all the money they spent on this, the time and money they spent on this, and they already have an effective solution. It's zinc, but they just can't make any money on zinc. Say, it's largely been ignored, except for what President Trump's been pushing through. So. So now I get this other question, Melanie. I get this other question on a daily basis. Are we going to be getting vaccinated now? And there's really no tested and approved vaccine yet. And they need the time to test it. And even if the FDA were to fast-track this vaccine they're making, people obviously would be skeptical because of the safety and effectiveness of it, because it lacks enough testing. So I believe, this is my opinion, I believe the vaccine is, when it's finally approved, when it finally gets approval, it most likely would be added to your seasonal influenza vaccine, just like the H1N1 was. That's what I think they'll do. But everybody should ask themselves the question. Let's ask this question, Mel. Do I personally know anyone that has become seriously ill with the COVID-19? I don't mean just simply testing. Do you know somebody that tested positive? That's not what I'm asking. Do you know anybody that's become sick with COVID-19? I don't know anybody. My children doesn't know anybody. I've asked people, do you know anybody that's, you know, personally, you know, has gotten sick? And people say no.
No.
Do you know? And I don't know anybody either. And then
I had a customer who told me today.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So you did that. Okay. So there also are these phone videos posted by people globally, going up on YouTube. They're going to the hospitals and testing facilities that the media says has been overrun with sick COVID-19 patients, and they go there only to see there's nobody there. There's nobody in the testing tents. There's nobody in the waiting room at the hospital. There's nobody in the hospital, period. So this kind of puts a lot of doubt in our minds. Can we trust the numbers? And really, how bad is this pandemic? Really, how bad is it? Do we know for sure? I think people are questioning.
Well, no, and you know, we don't know. There's a lot of, you know what? There's a lot of information we don't know, and I blame DC for not telling us. You know, the pathetic briefings that we get, if that's what you want to call them, give us absolutely no information whatsoever. And the thing of it is, and I've seen those videos where nothing, where nobody's there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just really, you know, as I question everything, and I really am a rebel, but
skeptical.
Also those videos can be done
I know.
Times, and, you know, videos can be, you know,
the videos I've seen off the news.
I have to see it for myself.
Right. I know the news videos where the news stations have been standing outside of test facilities and stuff, and you see this long line, and they're kind of snaking up to the tent. It's at night. Have you noticed that? It's at night.
And not only that, though, no, there's no testing, so I don't know how people can stand in line for tests because there aren't any tests that are available.
Right, and so it's at night, and then when people go there during the day, there's nobody there. And I'm like, wouldn't people go during the day? I don't know. Anyway, so then
again,
the other thing...
You have to question all video.
I'm just wondering. And now, there is that inoculation passport thing, that rumor going around, and that's the other thing I'm asked about is... There's a lot of speculation, rumor on the virus, the COVID-19, and is it going to usher in more restrictive use of travel, you know, based on proof of vaccination? So I believe there is that Bill Gates interview out there where he suggests people carry some form of confirmation proving they are up to date on vaccines in order to go out in society.
Absolutely.
He even said it's fair to say things won't go back to truly normal until we have vaccines that have gotten out to basically the entire world. He did say that. So I've heard companies also may be developing, don't know for sure, bracelets that list your vaccination history, a passport of vaccines, and so you could travel with that domestically or internationally. But I don't know if that's the truth, because in reality, you know, it's kind of a disturbing thing to think that you might have to be able to prove vaccines in order to even maybe travel to go buy groceries or to be safe to enter into a society. That's kind of disturbing to think about.
If you look at some of those four-part plans to open the economy again. Mm-hmm. Some of it is testing and separating those that test. So you are seeing that coming into play where, these plans that are being created to keep the public safe. So, yeah, there is testing and you will be extracted. So, yeah, you will be noted. You will be filed. You will be recorded. And you will have to have something. It's just like, there's a bill in the house. You know, you're going to have to get a license if you want to, this is a little off the topic, but to purchase any type of a gun or ammunition. So,
but this is just weird because here's the thing. They're worried about people that are carriers. They're asymptomatic. They don't get sick, but they have the virus. You know, we all are carriers of something. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are they going to try to test everybody for carriers of everything? You know, and are the tests going to be accurate? How are we going to know? How are we going to be able to trust those tests? Hundreds of infectious pathogens. How can they clear everybody of being a carrier? So, if you or I are, we got a natural immunity to COVID-19, but we're testing positive, what do they do with us? They throw us in, quarantine forever.
The incinerator.
The thing is, I like to just, use whole food natural zinc. You want to watch the drugs, over the counter products that drain your system of zinc. Things like antacids, anticonvulsants, anti-inflammatory drugs like your non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, birth control pills, cardiovascular meds, ulcer drugs, diuretics. So you want to watch that because it'll drain the zinc out of you in a skinny minute. Whole foods that have zinc will be hot cayennes, echinacea root, astragalus root, the ginsengs, skullcap wild yams, spirulina chickweed. So you can really get high levels of whole food zinc that way and protect yourself from this virus because medical science has already determined that's how you do it. We do have high zinc formulas at Apothecary Herbs, and we have our sale on through Friday for 25% off. Give us a call, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. So we got a pandemic kit. We got some other slightly less expensive formulas if you don't want a kit. So we got options for you.
All righty, give your number one more time.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. You have a blessed day.
They can go online and order too, right, Wendy?
Yeah, they could go online and order. The code for the discount online is LIGHT, L-I-G-H-T, and the number 20 for 25% off. Some restrictions apply, and it's on orders of $50 or more. But you can always call, use it over the phone, or write it on your order form.
Alrighty, fantastic. We'll talk to you next week. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're listening also to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I just had a nice call today. I know he doesn't want me to say his name over the radio, but he's from the New England area. I'll just say that. And his last order with us was back in 2002. And it was just nice to hear from someone from that. And it's just not him. I hear from people like that all the time. But it's just nice to know that they continue to listen to the program and they follow us, because there are days it's just like, it's tough. It's not easy to do the programs. And it's always nice to know that we're doing some good, and we're doing what we can do. And it also just confirms that I do believe I'm here for a reason, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I want to thank you for your order, but thank you for sharing that information with me. And I've been getting a lot of calls lately with folks supporting the radio program and saying, well, I've been listening for years and I listen to you. I know we're going to have a caller. I have to get the call-in number from someone in Pennsylvania. We'll give his name out when he calls in, but he was one of our first customers way back in 1995, and still listens to the program. And again, we thank each and every one of you. I had a couple of pet peeves. We're going to talk about the retail and manufacturing, how they plummeted for the numbers that they came out. But there was two articles that just kind of irritated me today, and one was how the big banks are bracing for big loan defaults. So they're getting the positioning for their bailouts. This is way I take it. J.P. Morgan, Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citigroup, you know them, Goldman Sachs, raised the funds set aside for bad loans by nearly $20 billion combined in the first quarter. $20 billion doesn't seem like a whole lot in today's world, but at least they know that these losses are coming. Bank of America and Citigroup said today their profits sank more than 40% in the first quarter. 40%. I think J.P. Morgan's was more than that. Goldman Sachs was 46%. Their first quarter profit dropped from a year earlier. And, of course, this was due to significant losses on its own investments, as well as a buildup in reserves for potential loan defaults. The only question is, most economists and bank CEOs expect the U.S. to go through a depression. You notice they're not saying recession. They're stating depression. The only question is how severe. Second quarter gross domestic product is expected to drop from 30 to 40%. And the unemployment rate is seen rising as high as 25%. This is their numbers. The real numbers are higher. So again, I think I think that was important that they were preparing for a depression. And the other thing, Dave and I were kind of talking about this during the break. He disagrees with me a little bit, but it kind of irritated me. The Fed's Main Street problem, they worry about the money that they're releasing won't go where it's mostly needed. And you're going to get a lot of these large corporations, the bigger corporations, getting the millions and millions of dollars, and I'm not quite sure what's going to actually trickle down to the mom-and-pop shops that are still surviving. And they're the ones that will have the hard time opening their doors again. They're the ones that will be filing bankruptcy. But, you know, so when I saw that Ruth Chris was getting the restaurant, the steak restaurant, they're very expensive. You know, if you go in and eat a single person, I'll guarantee you're going to spend $150 for a meal, at least. And that's maybe what they drink. Maybe, maybe not. They're getting their millions and millions of dollars. It's a billion-dollar company, I'm sure. But what's going to happen to the little organic store that's trying to survive? So that gets closed down also. Might not have as many employees, but their livelihood is just as important, and they don't have millions and millions and millions of dollars sitting in a bank account somewhere. So that's what I found irritating. In other news, we have stock losses. They kind of deepened today, as I mentioned earlier. You saw, they're running into the safety of bonds, which is just kind of the joke of the day. But after the consumer and the manufacturing report show the hit to the economy, it has been swifter and deeper in the earlier weeks of the shutdown than initially expected. You had March retail sales. They fell 8.7%. This is the most ever in government data. I'm surprised it's just 8.7%. The whole country is shut down. You'd think the number would be a heck of a lot more than that. New York regional manufacturing activity hit an all-time low, declining a shocking 78.2%. The two economic reports showed the double whammy of state shutdowns in mid-March on two pillars of the economy, which is the consumer and business. And both reports were even more dire than expected, and foreshadow even worse declines in April's activity, with state shutdowns affecting areas responsible for more than 70% of the economy. Dave, I guess it would be more than that, but it was because basically it was just a half a month.
Well, that's right. I mean, it was actually, I think, slightly less than 2 weeks, 13 days maybe.
Yeah, because things were fairly normal up to St. Patrick's Day. You had parades canceled, but there was still a lot of activities happening.
Yeah, economists expected an 8% decline in monthly sales. And remember, this is significant primarily because the consumer accounts for over two-thirds of GDP, almost 70% of the economy. Sporting goods sales were down 23%. Gas stations down 17%. Cars down 25.6, furniture down 27, restaurants and bars down 26.5, and clothing sales and accessories down an astounding 51%. Oh, retail, we hardly knew ye. The economic decline, which started in the first quarter this year, is expected to reach its bottom in the second, but we won't know for sure until we see how states are going to deal with the virus and how testing and vaccine are developed in the coming months. But we know that a consensus of economists expect an unprecedented drop of more than 30% of GDP in the second quarter. In fact, too big to fail, J.P. Morgan Chase expects 40%. And that's on top of 10% in the first quarter. So in other words, in dollar terms, they're expecting the gross economy to go from roughly $23 trillion to less than 12. That's crazy stuff, Melody. That's when you start to think it's going to be hard to come back from this one.
It really is, and it's not going to be that old V shape that everybody was talking about. it's going to be the L. It's going to be, or it's going to be the L for a very long time. And again, I mean, even if they did pump the $2 trillion from infrastructure, Dave, that's not going to help to recover all those losses. I mean, we see these numbers drop. These just aren't numbers that drop and think that you can build them back up. It's what happens when those numbers drop to that degree. The businesses that are impacted, do you think they're going to come back from that? You don't think there's going to be defaults and bankruptcies and closures and all kinds of things? You don't think this is going to affect any other, the banking system?
Tens and tens of thousands of small businesses,
yes,
are going to be affected over the long run. Big, I mean, big business, multinational corporations, although as a rule, they have more cushion to fall back on, but not for a long period of time. Look at Boeing, just another 150 cancellations of its airplanes announced today.
Wow.
That's going to decimate one of the most important companies, at least as far as the Dow Jones goes and as far as its employees go. It's one of its main manufacturing plants is not a whole, it's about 20 miles from where I live. I mean, you can already notice the parking lots, which come almost right out to Interstate 95, are literally empty. They'd been less occupied over the last 10 years as it was. Now, it's a ghost town. And, you know, you mentioned the L-shape recovery, Melody, and I think that's why, you know, more and more economists are now mentioning the D word.
Yeah.
I mean, picture the L, you know, precipitous drop like we've been seeing into recession territory. A lot of people think we haven't hit bottom yet. And then that flat line to the right over time. I mean, that's what a depression is. It's a severe and prolonged downturn in the economy. I mean, some people call it, you know, an extreme recession that lasts X amount of time. Some people think it's, you know, 3 years or more. Others believe it's not really tied to any time period, just that it's, you know, reflected in an extreme decline in GDP of more than 10% in any given year. Of course, accompanied by much higher unemployment, a lot of times of prolonged unemployment of 20% plus, and we're certainly experiencing that. I'm sure when the new unemployment, the new jobless claims come out, we're going to be over that 20 million mark real soon.
Do you think there'll be another 3 million to 6 million claims tomorrow?
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, certainly 3 million seems plausible, doesn't it?
It does.
6 million doesn't seem that far off. It'll be interesting. And I hope for the sake of our fellow workers that it's closer to 3 than 6. But this is a tough period that we're going through.
It certainly is. And the Commerce Department, they did acknowledge it had difficulty collecting data as many businesses have shut down. So, again, these numbers, the Empire State Manufacturing Survey fell by its biggest margin ever to a historic low, much steeper than any number in the financial crisis and more than double the expected decline in activity in the New York region, hardest hit by the virus. The Treasury market, investors bid up longer-term bonds like the 10-year more than the shorter 2-year duration notes. That's creating a so-called flattening trade, meaning the two spreads are moving closer together, which is, again, a sign of economic duress. The bad data also weighed on inflation expectations, pushing market inflation compensation even lower. Traders are looking at the spread between the benchmark and an adjusted inflation-adjusted treasuries to get a measure of inflation expectations. Well, let me tell you what, baby. Market shows expectations of inflation at 0.87 on average. Well, you know they're flat out going to be lying on that one. Because there's no way you can put trillions of and this money is coming into the, you know, it is being funneled down. You know, so that number is going to skyrocket, but really that's by talking it down now, it's part of, I think, why it's really keeping a lid on everything to some degree. Retail sales in the fourth quarter of 2008 fell over 8%, but that was over a three-month period. This is just 1 month, Dave. That's amazing. It's scary.
Hey, it sure is. Just a quick reminder as we're heading into our next break. Today's April 15th. Normally, we'd be reminding listeners that got to get to the post office by midnight tonight. But today, unlike virtually all others, April 15th is not tax day. 2019 federal income tax and many other state and local tax returns and any taxes you owe aren't due this year until July 15th. That 3 month extension is thanks to legislation passed by Congress, I believe, last month, and signed into law by the president. For more information about that, you can go to the IRS's website. I know you think about cooties. It's irs.gov, G-O-V, irs.gov.
I thought I was the only one that ever used the word cooties.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Need a flashback. Oh, just one other thing, if I can. I know this
sure.
is
Go ahead.
Sort of off what we've been talking about. There have been more and more online reports claiming that a lot of us are going to have to repay the $1,200 relief checks we get from the government under the $2.2 trillion CARES Act. That is not true. I repeat, untrue. The money is not in advance and does not have to be repaid.
But we repay it in a different way, Dave.
Well.
Got it. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We were talking and going into the break. Where were we? I forgot where we were at, Dave. I know where I
am. Oh, we were all over the place.
We were at the manufacturing survey that fell by the biggest margin ever to a historic low, much steeper than anyone had thought. We talked about the flattening trade. Home builder sentiment. We didn't talk about that yet. This is a crucial indicator of home builder sentiment. Well, they've been taking, the index is 35 years old this month, and it has the biggest monthly drop in the index's 35-year history. Builder confidence in the market for single-family homes plunged 42 points to a reading of 30 in April. This is the lowest point since June of 2012. The reading was expected to drop to 55. Anything above 50 is considered positive. The last negative reading was in June of 2014. This month's survey was conducted from April 1st to April 13th after, of course, everyone's been told to stay home. And, you know, something else, somebody was telling me that they were looking to get a loan, Dave, a mortgage. And for a while there, they weren't funding mortgages. They weren't funding mortgages, new loans. They couldn't get a rate locked in. Trying to get a pre-approval, and some mortgage companies wouldn't do it because they didn't know if they could fund it or not. You don't hear stories like that on the news, on mainstream media. To me, that's shocking. I don't know if it is to anybody else, but to me, I thought that was shocking. So they're stopping everything. I mean, isn't that bizarre, Dave?
Oh, well, it is. I mean, it just shows how acute this is and how protective the banks have become of their balance sheets. I mean, they're tightening in a big way qualifications for mortgages, upping applicants' required minimum credit scores from roughly 670 to a minimum of 730 to 740. And at that, even at that 740 level, you've got to be, your payment history has to be clean as a whistle. So, you know, it's all out of self-interest, and that's why, you know, their lobbyists have been pressuring members of Congress and the White House for relief. They want support. The mortgage industry in particular wants support. They want federal grants, presumably. I'm sure some would take loans. But more than that, they want a guarantee of the government that, you know, should mortgages that are issued during this time period fail, that they're going to be made whole somehow.
It's just another scary sign, Dave.
Indeed, indeed. Certainly on the altruism curve, banks are at or near the bottom.
Well said.
Especially the biggies.
You know, there was a new study from the Kaiser Family Foundation that shows that private health insurers and government health programs likely are, of course, going to face the higher care costs. So this is going to make everything just skyrocket. And it's if you end up, if you're sick, patients that are hospitalized for pneumonia treatment, it's going to cost you $20,000. If you happen to need a ventilator, it's going to be $80,000. From what I'm understanding, if you get to the ventilator, you're not leaving the hospital. And there have been reports and stories of do not resuscitate. So, you know, those to me, those are just sad to show where we're at in this world today. But the Kaiser study shows the hospitalization costs for Medicare and Medicaid patients would be lower on average per admission. And those programs typically pay lower rates than private insurance and have lower overhead in general. I don't know if there's anything else in there that you find interesting, Dave, or important to share. It's all interesting, but important to share about the health care.
No, we'll follow this the shelter in place policies across the country stay in place, and as we start to come out of this the worst of the pandemic and see what updated information we're seeing. It is certainly an eye opener for those who run private health insurance plans across the country, and as well as the government in their Medicare and Medicaid programs.
And I'm just
because there's nothing else. I'm just going to finish by saying we know that older adults are at much higher risk for COVID-19 hospitalizations. ICU admissions, where a lot of them go on ventilators, and unfortunately, many of them die. What that tells me is that Medicare spending is going to increase pretty steeply over the next year.
And I think it might be becoming a little bit more of a story. I mean, for years and years, I have talked to people, I've known people, I have family members who've had an elderly relationship with someone, a family member, someone is in a nursing home, and these rehabilitation centers, so-called rehabilitation centers, the condition that they're in, how these people, and now they're getting wiped out, where I hope that maybe some attention will be put on these nursing homes and to where the elderly will be a little bit better taken care of. There's some good ones, but there's a whole lot more bad ones. They lie to people about the condition. I've heard this many, many times, my aunt included. They told my family, her daughter, she was able to leave, and it was all these positive signs by the time they got her home. She couldn't even function. They just flat out lied, and they kicked her out because of that was all they could do. But they lied. And it's really, really sad. So anyway, let's move on to something else. Let's talk about beer. Can we talk about beer? Dave, let's talk about the levity.
I like that idea, Melody. In these difficult times, we need to stand back, or sit back anyway, and smile a little bit. So this week's Levity is Golden is about beer. It looks like good times are brewing for a beer-loving 93-year-old woman in my home state of Pennsylvania. Seminole. It's an unincorporated village located in unassuming Mahoning Township in rural Armstrong County in northwest Pennsylvania. Last week, Olive Veronese, who lives in Seminole, was facing a serious problem. She, like so many of us, had been quarantining herself to avoid catching the coronavirus, but her beer supply was starting to run low. She told Pittsburgh CBS affiliate KDKA-TV, "I was on my last 12 cans. I have a beer every night, you know, and beer has vitamins in it. It's good for you, as long as you don't overdo it." Well, ladies and gentlemen, Olive speaks the truth. Beer does contain selenium, B vitamins, phosphorus, folate, niacin, as well as protein and fiber. But desperate times require desperate solutions, which is why Olive had a relative photograph her sharing a heartfelt message to the world. "I need more beer!" The photo of Olive racked up more than 10,000 likes on social media and a few offers to get her sud stash restocked. But the good times really began flowing for her just the other day when Coors Light, the beer she was drinking in her plea for Pilsners, came through with 150 cans. What's that, 24, roughly 6 cases of Coors Light. Enough, she says, to last her another 5 months in quarantine. Naturally, news of Coors' gesture caused the eyes of fellow beer nuts to suds up. Jessica Lynn, she tweeted, "Olive, you're the real MVP. Amy Trask tweeted, "Fantastic. Well done, Coors Light. Love that you did this, and I shall support you and thank you by buying more of your product. Oh, and hi." Other people hoped Olive had just started a trend. Charles McGee tweeted, "All I need is an SOS sign for some free Coors Light. Bro, I'll send you a ton of pictures of me in a send beer sign." But alas, others had concerns, some of them serious. Andrew Klein tweeted, "Check her ID." And someone using the Twitter moniker, at NovoFogo24, asked, "To be clear, are you sending beer or Coors Light?" Ouch. Humor's running rampant in northwestern PA, Melody, and apparently beer is too. Whether it's real beer or just golden-colored water, I guess that's all in the eye of the beholder. And that is this week's Levity is Golden.
You know, I think that was really nice. I'm not pulling this apart, ladies and gentlemen. That was really nice. But she's 93 years old. Why couldn't Coors give her a lifetime amount of Coors to where she would never... Now, that would be image building for Coors.
Indeed.
Giving the woman beer for life. I mean, come on, Coors, lighten up. I saw a cute cartoon today. There was a sofa in front of a window, and there, you know how dogs like to lean up over their paws over the back of the sofa to look out the window? Well, the man was doing the same thing with his arms up over the back of the sofa, and he was looking out the window next to the dog. And he said, "Until now, I never realized why you got so happy when somebody walked by." Anyway, I thought that was funny. We've got about two minutes.
That's nice. I've got to move my couch back to the picture window
so you can see the people. Well, if you see people walk by, but the only one you might see walking by is the mailman.
Yes, yeah, he's pretty regular at 12:30, Monday through Fridays anyway.
You know, I just want to touch on this article before we leave. It's about how the COVID-19 could speed robots replacing humans, and I think this is important because
isn't that concerning?
Yeah, and because, you know, we talked about if factories came back, the technology and robotics, people, it's not going to bring that many jobs back. And social contact, supply chains have been disrupted. In the workplace, there's a solution that addresses both problems simultaneously. New colleagues immune to pandemics and ready to replace American workers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more robots. While many bosses are discovering a new willingness to let at least some employees permanently work remotely, no one seems to be talking about this 800-pound gorilla that could be even more disruptive to jobs. So as we're coming back and you see these factories, if they do come back, just retooling these factories for robots. And even more so because I guess they could keep working now. Even more automation with even more powerful robots and computers can help immunize the economy against future pandemics. This has implications in particular for two industry groups that have come to focus recently. We're out of time, but it is essential industries, including large parts of the manufacturing supply chain and industries with direct customer contact, also called high-touch industries. We'll talk about more of this when we come back. It's an interesting topic and our future.
Maybe you can ask James Corbett about it on Friday.
Okay, we'll do. Yes, we look forward to that. My conversation with him tonight will be recorded. Thank you. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.